This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
Last Things, Session 11, The Tribulation, Part 1, Cause and Effect. Originally published May 1st, 2022. Associated with this session are two charts, number 8 and number 9, as well as a handout. All three are attached to the PDF notes for this session. First, a word about the charts. Traditionally, the seals and trumpets and bowls of the tribulation, or Daniel's 70th week, have been charted in sequential order from left to right. The seven seals are presented, and then they are followed by the seven trumpets, and then the seven bowls. And from this, one might infer that they and their corresponding signs or events are to be understood as occurring sequentially during the seven-year tribulation. That is, this happens, and then this happens, and then this, and one thing does not happen until the one before it has occurred. The trumpets follow the seals, and the bowls follow the trumpets. Oh, if it were only that simple. We know that God does not experience time as we do. In the eyes of the Godhead, time, with its events, can wrap back upon itself, as seen in one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Responding to the Jewish leaders, Jesus said in John 8:56-58, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews, not surprisingly, said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." That's an amazing, what a wonderful statement. Jesus' last statement is awkward grammar, but wondrous theology. Before Abraham was even born, Jesus is. The Jews got it. The Jews, they got that Jesus was calling himself God. So they started picking up stones to kill him. Now look for a moment at chart number 8. My guess is that you have never seen the tribulation charted like this. Chart number 8 is an overall organizational arrangement for the tribulation period. There will be subsequent charts in which we will zoom into the various sections, seals, trumpets, bowls, for greater detail. But this shows the forest as a whole. Now note, between the 6th and 7th items of each series, there's a pause, an interlude. What I've termed parenthetical visions, which break out of the narrative. These are shown as yellow cartouches. In addition to that, there's a larger sequence between the trumpets and bowls that have traditionally been placed at the midpoint of the tribulation. That placement, however, while convenient, really does not accurately categorize some of these parenthetical events. Some do take place at the midpoint, some do not, or they are more problematic in their placement. Finally, and most important, this chart more accurately reflects the relationship of the seals, trumpets, and bowls to each other. That is, rather than taking place in orderly sequence, one after the other, from seal 1 to bowl 7, everything is actually contained within the seals. Let me repeat that. That may be a new concept for many of you. Everything is actually contained within the seals. That is, the seventh seal does not release the seven trumpets, but is the seven trumpets. Likewise, the seventh trumpet does not release the bowls of wrath or introduce them, but is the seven bowls of wrath. Thus, all of it is contained within the seals. Now, if this strikes you as confusing or even strange, I'll be discussing this further in subsequent sessions. I think over time, if not immediately, it should make sense to you and give us a more faithful picture of what's going on in this prophecy. Now, the curtain rises. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, reveals that there's a real cause and effect between the rapture of the church with the concomitant departure of the Holy Spirit and the inauguration of the tribulation with the entrance of the Antichrist onto the stage. Turn, please, to Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verses 6 to 10. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. That pronoun there refers to Antichrist. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. That passage in 2 Thessalonians, in condensed form, is a portrait of the last 7 years in the life of the individual referred to as Antichrist, the beast from the sea, the rider of the white horse released by the opening of the first seal. Because we are in the middle of it, we don't sense that the worldwide church, consisting of every follower of Christ Jesus, indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, effectively stifles or restrains the work of Satan and his disciples on this earth. From our perspective, we think it couldn't possibly get any worse than it is. But believe me, it will. And to a level of depravity and horror we cannot even imagine. That horror will be made possible by the sudden absence of righteousness on earth. As Paul states in verse 7, not just multiple antichrists, but the Antichrist will already be here working, preparing. But the rapture will cause the curtain to rise on a 7-year period in which they, servants of Satan, will indeed be free to do their worst. Now please turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, and you may want to refer to chart number 9 at this point. There's a scroll, or if you prefer, a book of folded sheets in heaven. Although the word in the Greek biblion can refer to either, from its description in verse 1, this seems to be a scroll, since it is, quote, written inside and on the back, and sealed up with 7 seals, end quote. Important documents in the first century, say, for example, kingly edicts or treaties, were sealed with 7 seals. And only those whose names were on the seals could open them to reveal the contents. Now, traditionally, most of these scrolls, so sealed with 7 seals, would have, all the seals would have been on the outside. So you roll this papyrus up, and you have this flap left over, and you would impress 7 seals upon that tail end there to seal it closed. All these seals would be on the outside, so that all the seals would have to be broken to open the scroll at all. This scroll, however, seems to be different. Now, I admit I could be wrong here, but I was amazed at the commentators, modern, contemporary commentators who say, well, it's obvious in Revelation that nothing happens until all the seals are broken. So the seals have to be on the outside, all on the outside of the scroll. Nothing happens until all seals are broken. And I read that and I think, well, excuse me, I know I'm just a layman, but that's not what the text says. Every time a seal is broken, something happens. Something is revealed. Something is seen. Something takes place. Something is foretold. Something is prophesied. So, this scroll seems to be different. Those 7 seals are not all on the outside, as chapter 6 tells us. Each seal, when broken, causes different events to take place immediately, or reveals a scene from the future. Thus, I believe this describes a scroll which has multiple seals within the roll, rather than all outside. One breaks the first seal, which permits access to a, as it were, first page, a section of the scroll, which would have been read top to bottom as a separate page, stopping at the next seal. You'd break the seal, unroll it a ways, and then it would stop. You would encounter a second seal. Breaking that seal gives access to the next page, and so on and so on. Or if you prefer, seals on the edges of the papyrus. That could work as well, preventing further unrolling of the scroll. But the point is, you are prevented from moving further into an unrolled scroll because at each point there's a next seal stopping you from doing that, and that seal must be broken. So what is inside this scroll that can be opened only by, quote, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, verse 5. Verse 6, a lamb standing as if slain. What is it? What's the contents? Opinions vary as to its contents. Some say the entirety of the Bible. Some say it is the message of the gospel. My position, just using common sense, is that this scroll contains all the details of the eschaton. That is, everything that follows. Everything that opening this scroll reveals. That's what's in the scroll. Our God is a God who speaks. When he created this universe, he did not pull its components out of a warehouse. He spoke them into existence. Words are important in the economy of the Godhead. Here, the words are not spoken, but they are written down. And the words have such power that when they are revealed, when the scroll is opened up, these things that are written occur. They don't even have to be recited. They just happen. Because our God is a God who speaks. He speaks things into existence. This was recorded by the Godhead in this scroll back beyond time immemorial. And only a member of that holy Godhead can reveal its contents and set in motion what it contains. And the prophet Daniel tells us why it must be the Christ. Turn please to Daniel chapter 7. Prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. Let's read verses 13 to 14. This is a prophecy of this moment of chapter 6 in Revelation. Daniel writes, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Only the Son of Man, which was Jesus' favorite way of referring to himself, can open the scroll, because its contents declare his lordship over all, his everlasting dominion, his kingdom upon the throne of David. It is, beyond everything else it describes, the narrative of the eternal, unshakable rule of Christ Jesus. And the chorus of praise from the myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands confirms this in verses 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, the first seal. Let's break open the first seal. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. After this time of worship and praise, the Lamb breaks the first seal. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, Come! Now let me add a sidebar here. The King James versions, working from a different Greek manuscript, have Come and see here and in verses 3, 5, and 7. As the first four seals are broken, it says, come and see, rather than just come. And come and see is interpreted by quite a few earlier commentators as directed toward John, the witness and narrator, as in, now come and see, John, what is about to happen. And in support of this, the text immediately following has John recording, quote, and I saw. Come and see, John. Well, and I saw. That, based on the text, that's pretty reasonable. A few interpreters even say it's directed toward Jesus himself, which to me seems rather bizarre. But the better, more reliable manuscripts have just the one thunderous command, "Come," as seen in all our other common versions. Thus, it is apparently directed toward each of the four horses and riders, as in, the seal is broken, and the thunderous voices, "Come forth! Come forth from the scroll." The text says, "I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." The breaking of the first seal releases the first rider who sits upon a white horse. He's armed with a bow, which seems to suggest that it is a symbol of distant victory. A sword is a sign of immediate, up close and personal combat. A bow is more long range. And he's been given a crown, a stephanos. That's not the crown of a sovereign. It's not a jewel-encrusted gold crown, but the wreath given as a prize to a victor, stephanos. And this rider's purpose and goal is to conquer. This rider is Antichrist, the principal earthly character for most of the next 7 years on earth. As a first example of the challenge inherent in this prophetic book for plotting out a coherent timeline, Antichrist is presented right off the bat, which makes perfect sense since he's no doubt already at work making plans. The opening of this seal does not create Antichrist. It reveals him to the world. It sets him to work more publicly on his goal. Yet, much later in the text, in Revelation 13, he is presented again as if making his entrance for the first time as the beast coming out of the sea. Let's read that passage. Revelation chapter 12. Let's read Revelation 12, verse 17 to chapter 13, verse 1. "So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names." As we read further in the passage, it's clear that the beast out of the sea is Antichrist. The dragon is Satan. And the beast out of the earth is the false prophet who works in support of Antichrist. All three comprising an unholy, obscene caricature of the Holy Father, Son, and Spirit. These three comprising the anti-Godhead. So notice at this time the handout, the two-sided handout, which on the first page offers a list of synonyms for each of these characters in this drama. Because the nomenclature of prophetic texts can sometimes be confusing, I've included in the handout the various ways in which the principal characters of the tribulation are referred. And on the back side of the handout is a handy harmonization of chapter 6 and Christ's eschatological or Olivet discourse from Matthew 24. That might come in handy as well. Now, anyone who has sufficient years behind them knows that most politicians will present one face when they're running for office and another face once they've attained that office. Our current president is perhaps the ultimate example of this. He was sold during his running for office as a wise, experienced statesman who would bring together into harmony all the warring factions within our nation, as well as bring harmony between the United States and other countries. Well, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it's an empirical fact that that does not at all describe the behavior or mindset of the one now sitting in the Oval Office. This illustrates the career of the Antichrist during the tribulation. Generally speaking, for the first half of the tribulation, the Antichrist is coming onto the world stage. He's clever. He's winsome. He's a strong leader who has all the answers to the world's problems. People are drawn to him like flies to honey. Or, should we say, like a dog to its vomit. He will eventually be recognized as the savior of the world, a strong leader, a general. He wins wars. This describes him during the roughly first half of the tribulation. He's working, he's plotting, he's setting in place those who will assist him in his plan. But his true purpose remains secret, shielded from the rest of the world. Here's how F.A. Tatford discusses this. He writes, "The brilliant career of this imperial rider on the white horse has been interpreted by the historicists," that would be those who say that everything we're looking at here in this revelation already occurred in history. It does not speak of future prophecy. It speaks of things that occurred in history. They've already occurred. That's a historicist. These have been interpreted by the historicists as applying to the golden age of prosperity and good government that elapsed from the death of Domitian to the accession of Commodus. It's far more probable, however, that the reference is to the rise and career of a mighty imperial ruler after the rapture of the church, who brings under his sway a vast territory in an endeavor to maintain peace, order, and prosperity. That's F.A. Tatford. This is just the beginning of the public career of the individual we call Antichrist, the beast from the sea. We'll be encountering him at most every turn as we journey through these tumultuous 7 years. As we do, we will see this human puppet of Satan become more ambitious, more authoritative, more arrogant, more reprehensible, more beast-like. That is, more like his father, the dragon.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2022 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible study section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications from the last 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources at our website are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.